Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, October 24th edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Got a good show today for you guys. Lots to talk about. UFC superstar announces his return, a couple of huge fight announcements, and a couple of fighters that actually turned down fights. So tons to talk about. Let's get right into it. First things first, Conor McGregor. He's announced his official return to the Octagon. It'll take place January 18th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Obviously, great news for the UFC to have their superstar return to the Octagon. This is pretty much official. Ariel Helwani has confirmed that this is actually happening. So it's not just Conor posturing, this is happening. The UFC was not planning on doing a date in January, but they had to add this after Conor said he wanted to fight again. He wanted to actually fight on December 14th at UFC 245 against Frankie Edgar. The UFC was not interested in making that fight, as we know. So the UFC created another card in January for Conor to headline. Which makes sense. I mean, he has to headline a card. He's too big of a name to have as a co-headliner or like third down the card. And if he was going to fight UFC 245, it'd be crazy to have Conor headlining above three title fights. Like, you could maybe do it over one title fight, but not three. It just wouldn't work. So Conor McGregor is fighting January 18th. And right now, there's two fighters in line to be his opponent. It'll be either, according to Helwani, Justin Gaethje or Donald Cerrone. So apparently Conor said, I watched the press conference. He said that he does know the opponent. He just didn't want to say yet. He wants the UFC to announce it. So it's going to be either Donald Cerrone or Justin Gaethje. They're both great fights. These are two fights that I've said for a while make a lot of sense. You know, if I had to guess out of the two, I think it's going to be Cerrone, just because I feel like Cerrone is more of a winnable fight at this point for Conor McGregor, and he obviously wants to win. I think the UFC will want him to get a win. Cerrone's a great fighter, don't get me wrong, but he's coming off two straight losses by TKO to Gaethje and Ferguson, and I feel like he's a little bit more sharp at this point in his career than Justin Gaethje, who is coming off of three straight knockout wins over Cerrone, Barboza, and James Vick. So to me, if I had to guess, it's going to be Cerrone versus McGregor, which is an amazing fight and a dream fight for MMA fans. Two of the best ever to do it in the lightweight division. Just a great fight. And hey, if Gaethje gets the fight too, I'd be happy for him, and I would love to see that fight. I would guess it's going to be Cerrone versus McGregor. So McGregor needs to get a win. And according to McGregor, he has a plan. His plan is to fight this fight in January. And then he wants to fight the winner of Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz for the BMF title in the middle of the year. And at the end of the year, he wants to fight the winner of Khabib and Tony Ferguson for the UFC lightweight title. So according to Conor McGregor, you know, he wants to be extremely active next year. He says he's in incredible physical condition. He says he's ready to fight again. He said he's motivated. He said he's hungry. All the right things, everything right. So, you know, hopefully he's telling the truth. Hopefully he does fight a more regular schedule next year. I think, you know, for a lot of us, we believe that after he made that huge payday against Floyd Mayweather, he didn't really need MMA as much. And I think that for the last 2 years, that has been true. But maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he actually is hungry. Maybe he does want to fight three times. I'm not 100% buying that just yet, but we have to go based on what he said. And according to Conor McGregor, he plans on fighting three times next year, again, against either Cerrone or Gaethje in January, the winner of Diaz and Masvidal in the middle of the year, and then the end of the year in Russia, he said, against Khabib or Tony Ferguson. And I guess he thinks Khabib's going to win that fight. So this is great news for the UFC, great news for the fans. The superstar's back. Conor McGregor's back, and he'll be fighting in January, UFC 246. So that's going to be a pretty big fight and a huge pay-per-view for the UFC. Now, a couple other things to talk about here. I'll get into the fight announcements in a second because there's some huge fights were announced yesterday. I can't wait to talk about those. But let's talk about some fights that aren't going to happen. Paige VanZant has declined the UFC's offer of fighting Macy Barber. That's according to her manager. So this is confirmed. Her manager said they do not want to fight Macy Barber. They don't want to give her the fight that she wants based on her lack of respect, basically. And yeah, Paige VanZant won't fight Macy Barber. According to Paige, on her Instagram post, she'll literally fight anyone else at 150 or 125 except Macy Barber. So I don't know. I'm not buying this whole respect thing. I think she's just ducking Macy Barber. She thinks it's a bad matchup for her. Paige VanZant has one fight left her UFC deal. And honestly, I think most of us think Macy Barber would finish her in the first round by TKO. That's what I would think would happen. So I can't blame her for wanting to ignore that fight and take on probably an easier opponent in her last UFC fight. I just feel like Paige and her management are really overselling her value as a star in the UFC. I know she has a lot of Instagram followers. I get that. And that there's definitely something to be said about that, but I feel like she's not as big of a star as they're making her out to be. She's a good fighter, but she was never a great fighter. And I don't think she was ever a superstar the UFC expected her to be or fans expect her to be. You know, she's definitely a good fighter, like I said, but I don't know. She's never turned into that superstar. And I don't think she ever will, to be honest with you. So She has one fight left her deal. I think she's going to want to fight someone that's beatable. And I think she looks at Macy Barber's a bad matchup. She won't admit that. Her management won't admit that. That's what I think is going on here. And I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to fight Macy Barber either. So I can't really blame Paige Van Zandt, but it's kind of ridiculous that she's out there, you know, telling the UFC, oh, you know, you're not offering me fights and I'm waiting for a fight. Where's the fight? They offer her a fight against someone who's like an up-and-coming star. And if she beats Macy Barber, I mean, that'd be massive for her. Heading into free agency with the win over Macy Barber, that'd be huge for Paige Van Zandt. So, you know, there's risk and reward. She obviously doesn't want to take any risk based on some of the fighters she was calling out. So Macy Barber and Paige Van Zandt, it's not likely to happen unless the management changes their tune, which I don't think is going to happen. I've been kind of following her manager on Twitter. His name's Kyle Stoltz, I believe. And I just really feel like her manager's overselling her value to the UFC. That's just my opinion. I'm curious to see what you guys say. If you want to throw a comment in there, but for me, I just don't see her as big of a star as she and her management believe. I feel like they're really inflating her ego. I remember that interview she did with Helwani a few months ago, and she just really wants to be paid big bucks. And she's like, "Well, I'm making so much money on Instagram." Well, that's good for you, Paige, but it doesn't mean that, you know, the UFC looks at you as a superstar. So, Paige Van Zandt, like I said, you know, I've always liked her. I think she's a good fighter, a solid fighter. She has some really good skills. Her submission game's good. She's relentless at times, but I think she's also shown that she's not an elite level fighter. And I think the UFC treats her like that. They treat her as a mid-tier fighter in the 125 pound division, which is what she is. They don't treat her as a superstar like she believes she is. So Van Zandt, Macy Barber, not happening. And we'll probably file soon Paige Van Zandt's fighting. But again, it's just, you can't go out there and say the UFC is not offering you fights when they do, and then you turn it down. Francis Ngannou, he's also been talking. He talked about John Jones, TMZ. He said that he believes a fight with John Jones is inevitable. So I think all of us want to see that fight at some point. He just thinks that the problem right now is Jones is not heavyweight, and he believes that if Jones moves up to heavyweight, he says he would only probably be doing so if he wants a title shot on Stipe, which you have to agree with Francis on this. I mean, why would John Jones move up to heavyweight just to fight Francis in a super fight? Doesn't make any sense for him. If he does, it would obviously be for a title shot. So Francis is right about that. Francis is also pissed the UFC isn't offering him fights. But he did admit that they did offer him the Alexander Volkov fight. So here we go, guys. He was offered the fight, but he didn't want to fight on the 18 days notice and fly to Russia. And again, you can't really blame him. This is a little different than I think Paige and Macy Barber, where they had a lot of time to train for that fight. This is different. This was a short notice fight. And Francis thought in his mind, this was too risky because right now he's lined for a title shot against the winner of DC and Stipe. And he believes that, you know, with Volkov being ranked below him, he would only take this fight if he was guaranteed a title shot afterwards. And I can't blame him for that. So to me, this is a little different situation because it was a short notice fight. And I really don't blame him for turning down against the guy who's lower ranked than him, to be fair as well. So can't blame him. I mean, I would have wanted to see that fight. I think the Greg Hardy fight is interesting, but I think Ngannou versus Volkov would have been a lot more competitive, should be more competitive anyways. So yes, Ngannou's turned down a fight with Volkov. He admits it, but he also said that it was only because of the short notice. And he says he would have fought him on December 14th in Las Vegas. He says he would have taken that fight. It was just another month of training. He just didn't want to fight in 18 days. He wanted at least 2 months of a training camp, which is totally fair. If Francis is in Ngannou's position, you're a star. You're in line for a title shot. Taking short notice fights is very risky. It's a lot different than Paige Van Zandt, who's a mid-tier fighter, turning down fights, which to me, that's a lot different. Now, let's talk about some fights that are happening. UFC 245, oh my God, what a card, guys. So yesterday, I was just getting ready to go to my bowling league, and all of a sudden, I look on Twitter, and it was like, UFC 245, Jose Aldo is making his bantamweight debut against Marlon Moraes. UFC 245, Petr Yan's fighting Uriah Faber. I mean, I was just like, wow, this is crazy. So this is the card I'm going to be going to, which I'm excited about, and these fights are amazing. First things first, Robbie Lawler's supposed to fight in that card. I'm assuming he's going to be taken off the card now because it's just so stacked. Like, I think they'll save him for another card. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong with that, but if I had to guess, that'll happen. But as far as the fights that are announced, I mean, these are two bangers of fights. Like, Jose Aldo moving down to bantamweight. I talked about this yesterday. The pictures of him at 135 right now, cutting down, he looks great. He looks really in good shape, and I'm excited to see him at 135. This could really be a good thing for him if he can make the weight safely. He's only 33. I mean, we look at Jose Aldo, he's a legend and he's been around forever, but he's only 33, so he's still relatively young. Obviously, coming off a loss to Volkanovski, he didn't look great in that fight, but we can't forget he got knockout wins over McConnell and Stevens right before that. So Aldo is one of the best in the world. And if he could go and beat Marlon Moraes, you'd have to assume he's going to be next in line against Henry Cejudo. I would assume. I mean, it'd be hard pressed. You'd be hard not to give him that title shot. I think Moraes coming off a loss to Cejudo before that, won four straight over Sunsel Rivera, Sterling Dodson. He's an incredible fighter as well. This is an amazing fight. Two of the best in the world. Two guys that love their leg kicks. Two Brazilians. Man, what a great fight. Love this matchup. Incredible matchup. Both guys were calling for it, so I'm glad the UFC actually got it done. Jose Aldo versus Marlon Moraes. Very, very good fight. I'd have to assume Aldo will be a slight favorite at the betting odds just because you have to give him respect as a former champion in the UFC and a long-time veteran, but Moraes definitely has a good chance to win this fight as well, just based on the fact he's more accomplished to 135, and he's just so dangerous as well. Now, the other fight announced for that card, and this also could be a number one contender fight. I mean, I really think it's going to come down to who's more impressive. Now, this sucks for Aljamain Sterling because it looked like he was next in line, but with these fights happening and Sterling hurt, I mean, it's possible he might have just been a victim of bad timing. We'll see what happens there. But if I had to guess, Sterling might be passed over for one of these fights, the winner of these fights, because especially if it's an impressive performance, just because of the timing. Now, Peter Yan's going to be fighting Uriah Faber. This is a great fight, too. Faber coming off a huge, huge win in his last fight over Ricky Simone. He's actually on a two-fight win streak. He beat Brad Pickett in his last retirement fight back in 2016. So Faber looked amazing at Simone, no doubt about it. He's taking up Peter Yan here in a very, very tough fight, I think, for Faber at this point. Peter Yan, he's on a 8-fight win streak. He is 5-0 in the UFC, coming off back-to-back wins over Rivera and Dodson. He's looked great. Dangerous guy. What a fight. I mean, just a great fight. But for me, the difference, and this is why I said with the Simone fight, so, you know, I think all of us are thinking the same thing. He's a lot younger, but I think Peter Yan's just a lot more dangerous than Simone as well. And the age difference here, yes, it's the same, but the difference is Yan is just a better fighter than Simone. 14-year age gap. 40 years old Faber, 26 for Yan. So to me, that's a huge difference. I do like Peter Yan quite a bit in this fight. He should be a favorite. He should be at least minus 200, minus 300 in this fight, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, I did count Faber in the last fight. I think all of us did, but I just can't pick him here. Even though he looked great, I just can't pick him against Peter Yan. I like Peter Yan in this fight. The other fight announcement is just a women's fight. Not a great fight, obviously, here at UFC Washington, D.C. Not as good as these fights, anyways. Cynthia Calvillo against Marina Rodriguez. Got to mention it, though. Claudia Gadelha pulled out of the Cynthia Calvillo fight yesterday. And now she's going to fight Rodriguez. So Calvillo, 2-fight win streak. She's 5-1 in the UFC. She's beaten Courtney Casey and Pollyanna Portello in her last two fights. And Marina Rodriguez, she's actually unbeaten in her career, 12-0-1. She is 2-0-1 in the UFC. Wins over Tisha Torres and Jessica Aguilar in a draw with Randy Marcos. But the three fights went to decision. I haven't been too impressed with her. I mean, she's definitely a solid fighter. She's pretty big for that weight class. But I think you got to do a little bit more than just win decisions to really get the fans' attention. At least Calvillo finishes most of her fights. Close fight for sure. Calvillo with the full training camp and just being more experienced, I think will be the favorite in this fight. But definitely an interesting matchup. You can't count on Rodriguez. She has looked really good in the UFC, even though she's only been granted decisions. She has picked up a couple upsets. So, yeah, there's some good fights. But, man, that UFC 245 card, guys, like, I'm just going to go read it because this card is just so good. Like, unbelievable. Three title fights, Usman versus Covington, Holloway, Volkanovski, Nunez, Grandamy. And then other fights confirmed, Matt Brown versus Ben Saunders, Jessica Eye versus Viviana Arujo, Brandon Moreno versus KKR France, Puno Haley Soriano against Oscar Pechota. That's a great fight, too. And then Arbrini Aldana, Caitlin Vieira, Jose Aldo, Marlon Moraes, Peter Yan, Uriah Faber, and again, Robbie Lawler versus TBA, but I don't think he'll be on that card. With all these fights now, this makes sense. If I had to guess the main card, and I don't know if this is confirmed yet, but the three title fights, Jose Aldo versus Marlon Moraes and Peter Yan versus Uriah Faber, although UFC could put one of those two fights on the prelims as a big fight and then move Aldana versus Vieira onto the main card. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, that card is just so stacked. And I'm excited for it. That's the second last card of the year. The last card is the Korean Zombie Ortega card. And then we have cards for the beginning of 2020 already announced. 2020 is crazy. I've been covering this sport since 2011. Unbelievable, man. The time goes by so fast, especially when you're doing something you enjoy. So great fights coming up, guys. Bellator has odds. I have my opening odds article over at maoddsbreaker.com. Definitely go and check those articles out if you are interested in betting on Bellator. UFC Singapore this weekend. broke down the card in full with Cole Sheldon yesterday or Tuesday on the podcast here. So go and check that out. I got to mention this podcast is available at Anchor right now. It's also available at Spotify. So go and check that out. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify. Of course, it's available here at MMAOddsBreaker.com and our YouTube channel. Also check us out at SoundCloud. So lots of places to watch the podcast and listen to the podcast. And I'm going to get it up hopefully on iTunes within the next couple of days. I'm just waiting for the confirmation for that. But yes, iTunes should be coming soon, which is great for anyone you know likes to listen on the road. All right, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, like I mentioned, is available on all those platforms. And you can find my work at MMAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MMARings.net. Just one comment here before I get out of here. Be crazy if Khabib beats Tony and Conor then beats Khabib. Yeah, it would be, man. It would be. And you know what? It's MMA, so you never really know. I mean, the rematch between Conor and Khabib could very well go different. We really don't know. And I like the fact he wants to fight in Russia. He wants that challenge. That's pretty cool. But that's it for today, guys. I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the latest in the world of MMA, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of news to talk about. All right, guys, have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.